Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In the Gospel of John, in John chapter 7, when Jesus arrived in the city of Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles, it was already autumn. The harvest was over. The weather was changing. And it was only about 6 months before he would be crucified. And during that feast, the city of Jerusalem was flooded with people from the nation of Israel from all over the known world. And they had all come there for that week-long celebration. And those thousands and thousands of people gathered on the temple grounds to celebrate that feast together. And sometime in the midst of that celebration, Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem. And he went into the courtyard of the temple in order to teach the people the word of God. And he went there to proclaim the truth of who he was and why he had come to this earth. And though some of the people who were visiting the city heard about Jesus, maybe they had even seen him, but many of them were not aware of the severity, of the hostility that was escalating all around him. And among the people who were there, there were a variety of opinions concerning Jesus, concerning him, concerning his message. But his message would not allow for neutrality. It would not allow for apathy. Because those who heard him either believed him, believed his words, or they rejected him. They rejected his words. For he claimed to be the one who had come down from heaven to take upon himself the sins of the people of this world. And the more that he proclaimed the truth, the more the people seemed to doubt him. You recall that his own neighbors in the village of Nazareth, where he grew up, when they heard his words, they wanted to kill him. Many of his followers had already deserted him because of the level of commitment that was required of them. It was too demanding for them. Members of his own family thought that he was out of his mind. The leaders from the nation of Israel wanted to destroy him because he questioned their authority. He questioned their devotion to God. And even the thousands of people who heard his words and who saw his miracles would, in the end, reject him as well. Only a small group of disciples, small group who followed him. That's all there were. An amazing display of unbelief. A sad commentary on the wickedness of man, that the God of the universe stood among us. Yet, most people rejected him. But none of these things stopped Jesus, did they? He boldly proclaimed the word of God. He boldly went into that temple courtyard. Nothing stopped him from fulfilling the divine assignment that was before him. Therefore, it says in verse 25 of John chapter 7, as the crowds of people listen to the words of Jesus, some of the people who lived in the city of Jerusalem and who were aware of the hatred of the leaders from the nation of Israel for Jesus, who were aware of their evil intentions against him, were saying to one another, is this not the man whom they are seeking to kill? Apoktano in Greek. The one they want to murder. Isn't this the one they want to destroy? But look, today, behold, can it be? This man, Jesus, is speaking publicly, parousia. He is speaking boldly and confidently, right in front of their eyes. And yet, they're saying nothing to him, even as he condemns them and their hypocrisy. They seem incapable of responding to him. They're speechless. While he is bold as a lion. So, the people began to consider why this was taking place. And in verse 26, they started to think about the possibilities. And they said that the rulers, the authorities, the experts in the Jewish law, do not really know something that we don't know, do they? Do they think that this man truly is the Christ of God? The Messiah? Well, they dismissed that out of their mind. Not likely, they said. However, Allah in Greek. On the other hand, we know this man Jesus. Who does this fellow? It's nobody. We know where he's from. We know his family. We know he was raised in the village of Nazareth in the province of Galilee. Apparently they didn't know that he had been born in the town of Bethlehem. But they expressed in verse 27 the popular belief, a belief at that time, that when the Messiah appeared, he would miraculously come on the scene in a moment of time from out of nowhere and save the nation of Israel. You recall that is what Satan wanted him to do, to jump from the temple and miraculously appear before the people. But this was contrary to the Old Testament scriptures, where it says in Micah 5:2, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But I guess the people hadn't bothered to find out where Jesus had been born. And so they incorrectly concluded in verse 27 that whenever the Christ may come, no one will really know where he is from. Like many people today, in their confusion and with their misinformation and their misunderstanding, they rejected Jesus without first getting all the facts about him. Jesus, therefore, we're told in verse 28, cried out in the temple, kradso in Greek. He shouted at the top of his lungs so that everyone there in the temple courtyard could hear him. He shouted so that everyone would know that what he was about to say was extremely important, even critical to them, teaching them the truth, stressing the significance of what he was about to say, telling them, it says in verse 28, if you had true spiritual knowledge, then you would both know me and you would know where I am truly from. The people were being deceived. They were being destroyed for lack of true spiritual knowledge. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like today? Does that sound like the condition that we find today, even in the church? And Jesus adds this, I have not come of myself. I have not come on my own. But instead, my Father, who is in heaven, has sent me to this earth. And he who sent me is true. Alethenos in Greek. He is real. He is genuine. While your concept of him is false, is wrong. For though you profess to know him, though you profess to know his word, though you have a zeal for him, it is without true spiritual knowledge. Your preoccupation with your self-righteous attitude and with your superficial devotion has blinded you to the truth. So, you do not see with spiritual eyes. You do not know him, Jesus says. You don't know him at all. You are blind guides leading the blind into the pit of hell. On the other hand, Jesus says in verse 29, I know him. I know him because I am from him. That is where I have come from. That is my home. I share the same eternal nature as him. And he is the one who has sent me to this earth to testify of him. Not to testify of myself, but to give glory to God. So, as you might expect, some of the people who heard Jesus speak to them in this way were astonished. They were offended. They were angry. And so we are told in verse 30, they were seeking therefore to seize him. Piazzo in Greek. They wanted to lay hold of him. They wanted to arrest him. But, it says, no man laid his hand on him. Why? He's surrounded by thousands of people. Because, we're told, his hour, ora, his time, the moment for him to die, had not yet come. The Lord restrained their hand. We are forever in his care. But, it says, verse 31, at the same time, many of the multitude believed in him. Well, at least they believed in his miracles anyway. And so it says, verse 31, they were saying, they were reasoning, when the Christ shall come, whenever that may be, he will not perform more signs, semeion, more attesting miracles to authenticate who he is than those which this man has performed, will he? Jesus had performed thousands and thousands of miracles. Oh, well, Pharisees, verse 32, leaders from the nation of Israel heard the multitude muttering about these things. They heard them muttering about Jesus, gongudso in Greek. They heard them buzzing like bees among themselves, and they got a little nervous. They were concerned because it seemed possible that the tide of public opinion might be shifting in the direction of Jesus and against them. And that made them nervous. And so they wanted to silence Jesus. So perhaps after a brief meeting, they decided to take action. And in verse 32, we are told that the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers, huperetes in Greek, servants. They sent the temple police, the Levites, who were responsible for maintaining order in the temple grounds. They were dispatched with instructions to seize Jesus, to arrest him by force if necessary. But even with the temple police, that just didn't happen. Jesus, therefore, it says, continued speaking to the crowd, even as the temple police were there listening to him right along with the people. And Jesus said to them all, verse 33, for a little while longer, for less than 6 months, I am with you. Then he said, I will be gone. For I go, hupago, I am going away to him who sent me to this earth. And here in verse 34 is the point. This is the warning. You shall seek me, and you shall not find me. It will be too late for you. For where I am, and where would that be? At the right hand of God the Father. He says, you cannot come. You are unable to come. You have no power to get there on your own. This is a important thing to remember. Those who don't come to Jesus Christ for salvation, while he may be found, will die in their sins and they will be lost and separated from him forever. That is what Jesus is saying to these people. Despite what many people think, despite what they want to believe, heaven is only for those who belong to Jesus Christ. So, this warning is for all of us, isn't it? The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. But like so many people today, people who are listening to this message right now, just like them, just like these unbelieving Jews, they did not listen to this warning from Jesus. Instead, verse 35, we're told they began to laugh at him. They began to show contempt for him, to ridicule him, to mock him, the way people do today. And they said to one another, where does this man, huthos, this fellow, intend to go, that we shall not find him? He's not intending to go to the dispersion, to the diaspora in Greek, to the Jews who are scattered throughout, scattered abroad among the Greeks, among the Gentiles. Is that where he's going? What is this statement? What are these obscure words that he said? You will seek me. You will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. These are words we all need to take seriously. Because like so many people today, they did not understand the extreme danger that they were in. They did not see that they were on the edge of eternal ruin. This truly is a warning for all of us. We're told in Psalm 95 and in Hebrews chapter 3. Today, if you hear his voice calling you to himself, crying out to you, do not harden your heart, but come to Jesus Christ before it is too late. He is stretching out his hand to you today. Don't refuse his offer of forgiveness. Don't say, I have time. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised our next breath. For the day will come. We're told in Proverbs chapter 1, a stern warning, sobering. A time will come, it says, when he will not answer, though you seek him diligently, you will not find him. And then it will be too late. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.